a Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the first episode of Season 7 of the best podcast of all time. Number one in all the charts on every measurement and in every territory.
Season 7. So, because everyone listening at home, we didn't stop, did we, really? We kept going.
So, Season 7, how long have we been here?
That feels...
20 years.
Have we been here for 7 years?
Well,
but we started, I think, on season 5.
We started on season five.
We did, yes. Yeah. Because there was a Confessions podcast from the other place.
Oh, right. Well, we don't recognise
that. Well, I think that's just delete, erase, bulk, erase. Put it in the bulk eraser. You've never seen a bulk eraser, have you?
No.
A bulk eraser was a big machine.
Yeah.
This is great.
Everyone who was in radio in the 1980s is right now going, oh, finally, we're talking about bulk erasers. Brilliant. Go for it, Simon.
So all the stabs and all the stings and all the little bits and pieces would all have been on a cartridge, which is a bit of plastic with a bit of tape. Which you'd put in the cart machine. Steve Wright used to love his cart machines. He'd bang them in, he'd press the button, you could rewire, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, you could chuck them around. Every show would have about 400, 500. But if you made some, sometimes you'd want to erase them as well, for which you'd need a bulk eraser. So it was like a big, huge machine with a little slot, and you'd put them in, and you'd bash the button, and it would go like that, and it would erase.
Did it make that noise?
It did. Made that noise.
And so then all of your jingles would then disappear.
Yeah, it was like an eraser.
That's right.
In bulk.
I see. So then you could use that tape to record other
Something
stuff.
Else. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of sad, though, because surely you'd want to keep those jingles and things.
Well, that's how it was back in the 80s, yes. Holly. No room for sadness then. Not like now.
There was someone in my first workplace, there was someone who's... No.
Where was that going?
Yeah. All right, so what is in our heads now is definitely worse than what's about to come out of your mouth.
No, it was basically misuse of a bulk eraser.
Yeah. Okay, that's still what's in my head now is worse than what's in...
When you press the button, it vibrated a lot.
Oh, my goodness me, it is what was in my head. Anyway, let's move on. So...
No.
Anyway, Link One. Podcast. Let's get into that.
Oh, I love Matt.
You know it's bad when Matt starts directing everywhere.
Thank God I'm here.
It's definitely bad.
Anyway, everyone loves the fact that we're back for season 7. However you're counting the seasons, as we move into August and the autumnal fall season, here we are with our season 7. Sister Susie is in the pub wondering what on earth's going on.
Yes, indeed.
Brother Matthew, I don't know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Sister Holly is still got the tack cupboard in her environs.
Yes.
Environ, maybe. Anyway, we're going to be back at the Parish Notice Board, home of the glowing 5-star reviews. Heartfelt correspondence to the occasional comment about Matt's absence of fabric conditioner, which we have, actually, come Christmas, that's what I'm going to get you.
Fabric conditioner.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it would not be welcome in my house because we don't use it.
Well, but if you're given it.
Mm. Well, yeah, but I'm not going to use the fabric conditioner.
Why not?
Because we like having the towels like hard. They are, nice and hard.
What about your clothes?
Yes, also them. So it reminds us of when we lived in the jungle.
What?
Caves. Don't. Something like that.
That's right. Yeah. Anyway, we're also going to pay a visit to the Not For Broadcast section, the Mark Knopfler sponsored section, and of course we'll hear all of the confessions, a slightly shorter batch of confessions, what with bank holiday in England and Wales and not in Scotland, from the Drive Time Show on Greatest Hits Radio. We've got Sid's underwear confusion, Knickerbocker glory. We have Marjorie's confession, Catfish and the Bottle Woman. But first it's back to the 1980s, a social work placement and one very confusing nursery pickup. Remaining anonymous for reasons that are about to become obvious, it's the tale we called Child in Time.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
This is an anonymous confession for reasons that you are about to find out.
Okay, wow.
Mm. It's not just anonymous, it's very anonymous.
Oh, dear.
Simon and the Confessional Collective. I'm writing to beg forgiveness for a 400-year-old misdemeanour. Well, it's the early 1980s, but it feels like it was a different century, to be perfectly honest. Committed during my earnest but occasionally chaotic days as a student social worker. Back then, in order to qualify, alongside our university training, we had to complete two lengthy placements and, crucially, pass both of them. My final placement was in a busy inner-city children's social work team where my fellow student, let's call him Stevie, and I were flung into the deep end of social care with the confidence of youth and about as much access to technology as a Tudor blacksmith. This was the 1980s. No mobiles, no internet, and only one office landline between four desks. There was one computer in the building, a beast the size of an oven, but students were several rungs below eligible to touch it. To be honest, we were barely allowed to even look at it. So, to the incident in question. Stevie was having what is politely known in social work as a shocker. Covering duty, juggling crises, and trying to type case notes into the sacred office computer before someone senior turned them off it. In a moment of desperation and possibly misjudged trust, Stevie handed me a scrap of paper and asked me to collect a little boy, let's call him Barnaby, from nursery and bring him back for family contact with his mum. I, keen to impress and blissfully unaware of the consequences of enthusiasm untempered by detail, set off. The note said, Barnaby, then the name of the nursery, and off I went, A to Z in hand. For younger listeners, this was like Google Maps.
Yes, it was.
But printed and forever out of date. What I didn't know, and crucially what Stevie also didn't mention, was that there are three nurseries in the area with very, very similar names. Undeterred, I marched into the one I thought was correct, proudly flashing my ID, which was a passport photo glued onto a letterhead and, if you were lucky, laminated.
Wow.
I'm here for Barnaby, I chirped. There's my ID. The nursery worker looked a little puzzled, in hindsight very puzzled, but after a brief pause handed me the child. I took his hand, smiled warmly, strapped him carefully into the car seat, gold star for health and safety, and returned to the office triumphant. Here's Barnaby, I declared. Stevie swiveled round. Eyebrows shot up, jaw dropped. Beads of sweat began forming, mouth forming a perfect O shape.
Oh, no.
That's not Barnaby.
Oh, no, wrong Barnaby.
Oh, no.
He's the wrong child.
Oh, dear.
Cue internal screaming. It dawned on us, far too late, that I'd gone to the wrong nursery and collected the wrong child. Oh. There I stood, holding not Barnaby, who was looking up at me with the innocent trust of a child and perhaps mild confusion about where the biscuits were. I bolted. Back in the car, not Barnaby and I made our second journey together, this one slightly faster and a lot more awkward. I returned him to the nursery just in time for snacks, which somehow softened the blow. The nursery worker and I shared a look that best described as, let's not speak of this again.
No.
And I left him nibbling on a digestive like nothing had ever happened. Not Barnaby, who was none the wiser, being thankfully pre-verbal and, let's face it, more interested in raisins and scandal.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Stevie had dashed to the correct nursery and retrieved the actual Barnaby. Father Simon, remember, this is the 1980s.
Yeah.
I plead forgiveness, first of all, to not Barnaby, who got an unexpected field trip and a bonus snack. I plead forgiveness to not Barnaby's family, who obviously never signed a consent form for events like this. To the nursery staff, who probably needed a stiff drink and a lie down. And to my younger self, who somehow still went on to qualify and later supervise many more cautious student social workers. And in case you're wondering, after a lot of support, actual Barnaby was successfully reunited with his mum.
Ah.
And Stevie and I, we both had long, blemish-free careers in social work, despite this near career-ending hiccup. Yours in eternal penance.
So he passed.
He passed.
He passed.
He passed. Yes.
Oh my
I think
goodness.
No one ever spoke of it again.
Oh well, that's fine. Yeah.
That makes it okay.
He said, "Long
how do you fail,
blemish-free." Yes,
the wrong kid.
Long blemish-free careers in social work, despite this near-ending career hiccup.
Okay.
Yours in eternal penance. A once misguided but well-meaning social work student, with kindest regards, anonymous. As I said. For obvious reasons.
Wow.
I think this is the kind of thing that you come out and confess to, like Anonymous has done, as you near the end of your career.
Once retired.
As you're about to retire. You say, I did get this thing slightly wrong.
Very wrong.
Very wrong. Anyway, Sister Susie goes first.
Yeah, it sounds like the Wild West of social work. But I don't know, maybe back in the 80s was a very long time. But you can't just wander into the wrong. Just make sure you get it right. What, you know, and I you know, maybe it was also some part Stevie's fault. You know, he should have said, by the way, there's a couple of nurseries with that name, so make sure you've got the right one. Just taking a moment beforehand could have solved all of this problem, couldn't it? And you just can't take the wrong child, the poor child.
They were going through it. It was a bad day, and
the staff were handing over the wrong child. They just said, "Oh yeah, of course, take him."
I've played the wrong version of a Blondie song.
Yeah,
I mean, we all make
very
mistakes.
Much like that.
No, not the same. Not forgiven.
Brother
too
Matthew.
Terrible.
Yeah, I'm going to forgive. Well done on passing the anonymous. not sure what you'd have to do to fail. I'm going to forgive because really, is it just me or is it actually all the nursery's fault? Number one, they've all got similar names. No one thought of that. No one thought, let's call ourselves something different because there's like three others who've got the same name as us.
Yeah,
and then also,
the
some random bloke turns up with a letterhead and his passport photo and says, I'd like one of your children, please. Maybe just check that Barnaby is the right Barnaby. So yes, it's all the nursery's fault and therefore the system. And for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
A good way to start season 7, however you're counting it, I thought, with a shocker of a confession, with Matt blaming the system, showing that nothing has changed. It could be season 27.
Could be, couldn't it?
And
it'll
all be the system's fault.
Consistent, yeah. Well
we
done,
had
Matt.
A mixed reaction on the people's verdict for Anonymous, including this one, which again proves if you agree with Matt, he'll always read it out and put on a funny voice.
And Kathy from Devon says, I'm with Matt. The nursery are at fault here. No signed forms, no child. Terrible system.
Okay, that's very good. Thank you very much. What was that voice?
That was a normal voice. How was that? No, I didn't put on a voice.
You sounding like Michael Howard.
Michael Howard.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, that's what you were sounding like.
Peepil.
That's exactly how you were sounding.
System. Yes. Yeah, it did sound a bit like that. Very good. Well done.
You really change character
so
when you do voices, I have to say.
Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
you do your Spanish, it's like you're a different person.
Yeah, chameleon, that's it.
Michael Howard used to be, he was Home Secretary and then was leader of the Conservative Party.
Okay, when
did
was this?
Did you threaten to overrule? Rule him.
It was
that was his catchphrase.
Just before Lord Palmerston.
Yeah.
something like that. Anyway, off to the parish notice board. Matt, have you remembered your glasses?
I have.
Or, but you don't need to because Susie has put in the next section in a font big enough for even you to get right.
Yes, she has. It's nice and big, the Scylla font. So we go straight in with Sally 4321 Yellow Blue Star, who says five stars.
Hang on, is that all her name?
Sally 4321, but it's not all one word. Sally 4321 Yellow Blue Star.
What role does the 4321?
To what world? Because there might there's others Yellow Blue Stars, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, how many are there?
Yeah, lots of them.
I think that's
4,320. This show is absolutely hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Must be the world's greatest podcast. It's definitely five stars for the most amazing Matt. Heavenly Holly, Super Susie, and of course the sensational Simon too. Always brightens up my day.
As she
wrote it. Always brightens up my day, and I know it makes my daughter Ella laugh on her way to work. Confessions listener, brilliant. That's great.
They've made an account.
What your name is. It says, five stars. Father Simon, Brother Matt, and sisters Susie and Holly. Me and my dad are on the North Coast 500 right now, and your podcast is helping keeping us going alongside crisps and snacks. Love the accents from Simon. Matt, no best bits for Matt, just Matt in general. And the lack of mercy from sisters Susie and Holly. Thanks again for such a lovely podcast. P.S. Love Simon's rendition of the Fairy Liquid song from a couple of episodes back. Yes. Wasn't that great fun?
Was it?
The Fairy Liquid, soft as your hands.
Hands that do dishes can be soft as your face with mild green fairy liquid.
That's true. Still not sponsoring us, which is
no, they could just send money.
Them. Yeah.
I've never heard that advert before. Was that from a while back?
Just before Lord Palmerston.
Lord Palmerston
really?
And Michael Howard.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's Michael Howard's favourite.
Yeah.
Have you got any more?
No, that's it.
You've got another page.
Mel D 2050 says 5 stars. World's best podcast. Absolutely love this show. It is the light-hearted relief we all need at the end of a week. Thank you to the hilarious Father Simon, sisters Holly and Susie, and BFAG Matt.
What's that?
What does that
be
mean?
Be best.
I can think of one thing that fits.
Best
something, best farmer,
best father, best friend,
BFAG.
Something that, a gutter, something of the gutter, best, something of the gutter.
Brother from another gutter.
There you go.
Yeah, we should have Holly on our charades team. She'd be very good.
Der Pfennig ist gefallen.
Yes. What?
I love that.
There's the German version of the penny has dropped. Der Pfennig ist gefallen.
Does that come up a lot, does it?
Yeah, it's very useful. Especially since they don't have Pfennigs anymore.
When people come round, sort of Der Pfennig has been gestucken.
No.
There we go. Oh, where's this Der Pfennig gone? It's gestucken over there.
No, it's gefallen.
Yeah. Gefallen. The gefallen is just Der Pfennig.
You're looking at me as well, the answer.
I think that's just being ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Anyway, Susie, the voice of sanity, please. What do you have from your side of the notice board?
So from my side of the notice board, I've picked an email from Jim, who says, "Hello, fantastic number one confessions team and Mark Knopfler. I'm just listening to the 25th of July podcast and Holly mentions that she has about 200 mugs left. Now would be a good time to play the Matt doing the what thing."
What? Oh, there you go. Well done. Okay,
wait, let's
read
that in again.
So, give me that cue again.
I'm just listening to the 25th of July podcast and Holly mentions that she has about 200 mugs left.
What?
Excellent.
I emailed in March.
No, not again.
Okay.
All the time.
Yeah.
I emailed in March with a subject that seemed odd, but was actually a secret code phrase reference, which was hot as mustard. And I'm certain I heard in a subsequent April podcast saying I could have a mug, but nothing has arrived yet. I have been gleefully checking all my parcels when I get home from the Middle East every couple of months. But after every examination, I remain crestfallen and bereft of your mugs. So I'll take the lot off your hands and distribute them throughout the Middle East, which will surely make you even higher than the number one at every single chart imaginable.
Mm.
Or actually, if I could just have my one, I'll send in a smug mug photo from Baku as soon as I take it over. Keep up the amazing good work, regardless of your decision. I still love the podcast and get very odd looks at work when I snort coffee everywhere listening to it each morning. Regards. Jim.
See, Jim must be a spy, mustn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Out there in Baku.
Lots of reference to the Middle East.
Mm.
I mean, that was all a little bit suspicious.
Yes. So, but we haven't sent him a mug then, have we?
Well, I would have thought we would have sent it to him, but maybe it hasn't arrived.
Doesn't ring a bell? No. Sending one to Azerbaijan?
Maybe
a foreign agency stole it.
Foreign agency took it.
Ooh,
yeah.
Suspicious package.
Yes. Mm.
I think so. I think it could be the North Koreans.
Yeah, it's not very near to Azerbaijan.
I'm sure it would have been sent to an address in the UK.
Yes.
Because he says he checks every time he comes home.
There you go. There was the clue when I come home.
Yes.
Good work.
People who are listening.
Yeah.
Maybe we could make sure we could send him one because he sounds like he might be very important. He might be like the head of MI6 or something.
I won't send him 200.
No.
That would run out of all of our mugs.
And no one needs 200 mugs.
No, he'll be happy with one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll send him another one. I presume I sent him one, it just never arrived.
Yeah.
So I'll send him another one and let us know if it does arrive, because that would be good.
Anyway, keep your additions to the Parish Notice Board coming. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Bumper edition of mentions to Eddie Howard, LJM, Janine Moore, Phil G. Morgan. Could be Phil G and Morgan, who knows? Norman Kelly, Lightbound, Pam and Polly, Scragmeister, Elaine Gwither, Blitz, Lee Harrison, Robin White, Liam Meller, Eddie McBride, probably McBride with an E missing, and Sarah Gray, Uncle Tom Cobley, et al., who were amongst those who got in touch with all the secret code phrases from the last few weeks. So it was on the wall near the floor, about the airing cupboard.
Yep.
Soot in my sandwich and tell me that you love me. That's how it's...
very good.
Too many toilet rolls.
Yeah.
Students not throwing them in the bin, I think. Yes, I think that was basically my daughter. And not in a Wetherspoons, which was not for broadcast.
Oh, yeah, because the thing in the Wetherspoons.
Doing some stuff.
Also okay. Razor.
I am going to... Wow. I bet I can find a Bulka Razor for next week.
Yeah. Let's do it. Wow. Let's bring one in. It would be very careful.
Be very useful, wouldn't it?
Yes.
How big are they?
As big as...
It's a bit like, like two video recorders to use.
Yeah, an example of something
that I don't know. Yeah.
Doesn't know what video
is.
It's a big old thing.
Yeah.
And very heavy.
Yeah. Okay.
Put it this way. If you bought one from a department store, you would demand that someone from the department store escorted you from the department store to your car.
Yeah.
Because it's like twice
I bet
the
you
weight.
They wouldn't, though. A bit like when I bought that TV.
No, that has come up before,
and nobody helped.
People don't carry stuff to your car for you.
No, but I'm a small lady and no one helped. That's wrong.
But bulk erasers are still very rare. So you won't find one, I don't think, in a department store. But if you do, get an assistant to help you.
Okay, good to know.
Essential advice. Matt, we'll have another new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast, which I have a feeling.
And we all know what it's going to be. Find out later.
Now it's time to enter the shadowy corner of the podcast. We lovingly call the Mark Knopfler section / Not For Broadcast, starting with Patricia. You might have been penned in and locked into the stalls and unable to escape while you took the family to see Starlight Express, first time around 35 years ago. Maybe you should have thought of that when you had too much to drink with the meal before the theatre. Being locked in your seat and feeling the urge to be all Huey Lewis was going to end well, was it?
Nope.
Especially as you just ended up vomiting on your feet.
Oh, what?
Despite moving your feet,
theater.
You were on a slope, so the vom just hurtled downhill over everyone else's feet for the rest of the performance.
No. And you had to put up with Starlight Express. So. Bad all round, really.
Never mind the smell. Too much sick for tea time, Patricia. We can, if there's going to be vom, it has to be like artistic vom.
Yes.
And, maybe the it's not the point, the vom can't be the point of the confession.
No, it can't. No.
It's a side product.
Yeah. Unfortunate side product.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how they locked them into the stalls.
But she's not in the toilet.
Makes it sound as though she's a horse. Is she a horse?
Are you a horse?
No, theatre stalls.
Theatre stalls, yes, that's what I said.
No, but when she says locked in, it sounds like, I don't know, she's got some sort of seatbelt or something on her.
Is that what they do in Starlight?
Well, they have roller skates, don't they?
Better strap them in because they'll leave at half time.
Right, it's the only way of keeping me in there.
No, I think it's so they
What's
don't
the Starlight
get rolled
Express
over.
Hit? I can't even remember.
Isn't it Do You Hear the Children Sing, your favourite
track? Do You Hear the Children Sing? Oh, my goodness.
I'm very excited to be going to Evita this week.
Oh, yes.
That'll be good.
What a circus. Oh, what a circus.
That's right.
Something.
It's like Matt's in it.
Like
Dave
Nessie's.
From the shows.
Yeah.
Also, Dave, I know you said it might be expected that when your mate gets married, a member of the groom's party should get friendly with one of the bridesmaids, but telling us all the details of how it happened outside the church during the ceremony and that one of them was married and not to each other is never going to make it...
Not to each other?
What kind of a feature do you think this is?
Yeah.
What a den of iniquity.
During the thing?
There's a service
during
going
the service.
On. There's a row going on down near Slough. Heavens above. Dave, what kind of a cast do you think this is?
Mm-hmm.
Still, rather that than Starlight Express. I think we can all agree on that.
Wait, rather what than Starlight Express?
Yeah, I'm not watching.
Anyway, that's quite enough of that.
Yep.
That sort of covers everything, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
Back to the confessions that did make the cut. It's Sid's floor manager confusion knickerbocker glory.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone, just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Sid. All right, Sid, Father Simon and the rest of the Forgiving Collective. PG certificate.
My
confession is set over 30 years ago at a time when employers didn't really support or even allow young fathers-to-be time off to accompany their wives' prenatal hospital appointments. These were different times.
They were, yes.
The only way I could attend with my wife, Andrea, was to take the whole day off, which would have had to been taken for... This was taken out of my 20 days annual holiday entitlement. Holidays were phenomenally important and were not to be frittered away, so I was not keen to take a whole day off for an appointment that lasted 1 hour. And in any case, There was sure to be further hospital visits ahead, and I could end up losing all my annual holidays at that rate, and this was not acceptable. So I went to my boss and presented my case. I pleaded, really, for an hour off to take my wife to her hospital appointment. Well, amazingly, he was receptive to the idea, and he agreed, but said that I must return to work immediately the appointment was over. He was obviously a pioneer in employee welfare and fluffiness.
Fluffiness.
That's what it calls it. Okay. I thanked him profusely and agreed to return as soon as it was over.
Yeah.
So at the allotted time, I popped out of work to pick up my wife and take her to the scan. The appointment went well, and we were thrilled to see the blurry image of our baby on the enormous black and white CRT screen. It was over nice and quickly, and I was ready to drop my wife off at home on my way back to work. But she then asked me to stop off at the local Marks and Spencers on the way home to get some new bras. I was a bit worried as I was due to go back to work immediately. It was all over. But with a desire to support my wife in any way I could, I dutifully agreed.
Okay, we're in the bra section, everyone. Here it comes.
We're moving into
carry-on
confession. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now we're in M&S, wandering around the women's lingerie department. Mm. I felt a bit uncomfortable. This is what Sid's written. I felt a bit uncomfortable mingling amongst the frillies.
I stuck with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then after releasing my wife and... realising that my wife had wandered off, I was now alone in the department. This felt wrong, so I decided to go and stand at the edge of the floor. Marks and Spencer's had a couple of steps that led away out of the department, so I stood on the top of those. Now, remember, I'd just come from work, so I was dressed in a dark suit and tie, which was normal for engineers in those days. I was minding my own business, waiting patiently for my wife, when a young woman came up to me. She had presumably mistaken me for the M&S lingerie floor manager.
Of course.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
So are you being served time?
Yeah.
She asked me where the thongs were exhibited.
Oh, of course.
Amazingly, from my elevated position on the steps, I could actually see the display of thongs. Yes. So I pointed her in the right direction and she went away happy. A moment later, another woman came up to me, also mistaking me for the floor manager, asked me if we sold wedding day lingerie.
Ooh.
Is that a special thing?
I say. Well, let's hope so.
Again, I was actually able to help as I had passed that section.
Oh, there's a whole section
on
it.
The way
brilliant.
Wow.
Out of the department.
Fun times.
So I directed her to the right area. I continued to twiddle my thumbs, waiting for my wife. Where is she? When a substantial woman came up to me, she had similarly mistaken me for the lingerie floor manager.
Another one, yeah.
Wowza.
She asked me...
Yes?
Did we provide a bust measuring service here?
Mm.
So my response was, Father Simon, inappropriate. But in those days,
yes.
We didn't know that.
No, we didn't know that.
So
I
said,
fine.
Yes, madam, I can provide that service, but I must tell you I don't actually work here. Her face turned purple with a disdainful frown that could curdle milk at 100 yards, and she scuttled away, muttering obscenities at me under her breath. Thankfully, my wife then reappeared. I still don't know where she was, and we made a swift exit before there are any repercussions for my inappropriate behaviour. I don't actually ask forgiveness from the first two women who mistook me for the lingerie floor manager, as I actually helped them. I don't even ask forgiveness for upsetting the substantial woman and her requirements. However, I do ask for forgiveness for abusing the trust that my boss had in me and for not returning to work as soon as the scan was over, as I had promised, when instead I went to M&S with my wife. I have stewed over this for decades, but with your help, I can finally move on from this dreadful episode. Hopefully the forgiving collective can find it in their hearts to provide some forgiveness. Well, I don't know about that. Let's check in with Sister Suze, who is very stern on these matters.
Well, I just think you should have said, I know you want to support your wife, Sid, but you just should have said, you know what, I can't take you to M&S right now because I need to get back to work.
But a wife, by that, that's not going to
go
down
very
well.
Go to M&S another time. Also, I don't understand what the embarrassment of is men being on the lingerie shop floor. Just, they're all underwear. We've all seen them.
Yes.
You've all got them.
But
just,
you
could have just
there.
Said, do you know what, I don't work here. And then it would have been solved. I just think, even very silly, you got yourself in a right kerfuffle and you didn't need to. You could have just been honest and stopped being embarrassed. So, not forgiven.
Yeah, I kind of...
Yeah.
I'm not quite convinced by that.
No.
Brother Matthew.
Yeah, it's a bit of a minefield for husbands in
no,
that
it's
department.
Not.
It is.
Everybody's got pants.
Too many frillies.
Yeah. Too many frillies. Keep your eyes on the floor. Stay very close to your wife. That kind of thing.
Don't offer to measure someone.
I'm on my phone.
No. Yes, I'm on my phone. I don't choose to be here. So, I'm going to forgive. I mean, he was doing his best in the... paying attention. That's what he was doing.
He was.
Because he knew where the thongs were. He knew where the wedding day was. He paid attention to everything in the frillies. So and didn't abuse the boss's fluffiness either. So he was doing everything right. Well done, definitely forgiven.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What?
Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
It just feels as though if you're spending any amount of time in the women's lingerie section, it just people look at you as though, you know, so you won't understand this.
Yes.
But
people
just look at you and go, why are you
why
here?
Why are you spending all this time here, mister?
What are you looking at?
Yeah,
do they, though? Because all these ladies...
Absolutely, yes.
But they went up to that guy asking him questions.
Because he was wearing a suit. He was wearing a suit and standing still.
And he made some joke about measuring the bust. I mean, it's just so immature.
Well, it was the 80s, so...
That doesn't make it okay, Matt.
No, it doesn't.
No. It does not make it okay.
It doesn't. You're right.
Also, just grow up.
Yeah.
Yes, but also, there is an underlying embarrassment which will always be there.
Yeah.
If I went into the men's pants section, I wouldn't feel strange about that.
Die of boredom. No, there's nothing there. I mean,
die of boredom. Are they not very fun, the pants?
No, they're not. They're just, you know.
They're not frilly, Holly. They're not frilly.
It's the frilliness and the wedding nighting, the wedding day, and the thongness.
What is that? Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Wait, lots of forgiveness on the people's verdict for Sid, apart from this one from Rita, who makes an interesting point.
But Rita says, not forgiven. How pompous, what a prude. He didn't mind taking those garments off, did he, 9 months previously? Good point, I thought, from Rita.
No.
Yeah.
It's not a very good point.
Yes, it is.
How does Rita know?
Well, because 9 months previously,
his wife was pregnant.
His wife was pregnant.
9 months before,
there'd been a little bit of
hanky panky.
There you go. Well said, Suze.
Yeah.
So cringe, isn't it?
It is.
Like, it is. Yeah.
Very cringe. Yeah. Anyway, precisely my point.
Still to come, we head into the crypt for a little special treat from Private Paul and him flashing a lot of people at an Army Medical from 2021. Do we allow that kind of thing?
I don't think so.
Our standards have dropped catastrophically, I think. I don't know who's to blame for that one. But first, it's Marjorie's confession, Catfish and the Bottle Women.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
This eventually will ring some bells.
Here
we go. Father Simon and the Wonderful Collective. I am a happily married woman in my mid-40s. Whenever a confession starts like that, you know there's going to be circumstances that might suggest that that is not true. I have two beautiful teenage daughters, a loving husband, and a funny 3-year-old black and white cat called Eugene. We all live a conventional, happy existence, facing all of life's little ups and downs together. And fingers crossed, we seem to do a pretty decent job of navigating them all.
Yes.
One of my hobbies that I enjoy very much is cooking, and this week I have made two pies, a golden brown rich crusted beef and ale pie.
Ooh, lovely.
And a creamy seasonal vegetable pie.
Tasty.
Ordinarily, I would choose a nice piece of beef and ale pie, but this week I went for some of my girls' favourite veggie pies instead. My husband was perfectly okay with this. All the more for me, he said happily, when taking his second portion of beef and ale pie. I love my husband very much, and I know he loves me back in equally vast amounts. I enjoyed more than ever watching him tucking into his pie this week, complimenting me on my pastry and the meaty goodness inside. A slightly different flavour and texture than usual, but still delicious, he had exclaimed whilst emptying his plate. Now that my husband didn't realise, but what I'm about to confess to you is the extra special ingredients that we used to make his evening meal.
Oh, no.
Which were, to be precise, 6 sachets of Felix As Good As It Gets beef in jelly cat food.
Oh!
Okay. Oh. These pouches are usually what fills our little Eugene's cat bowl each night. Not what my husband typically eats after a hard day's work. I have never cooked with cat food before, and I never will again. But it seemed to be the perfect ingredients on this occasion. Father Simon, this is all very unlike me, but I was taken suddenly by an overwhelming urge, a desire to use these extra ingredients. So why was my husband unknowingly eating Eugene's cat food? Well, a few weeks ago, I had been enjoying the daily confession whilst cooking our evening meal. That day's confession was a shocking story centered around an unfortunate incident at passport control in London Heathrow.
Oh, this one, yes.
As I listened and watched, my husband was smirking, and I realised that this story was about me.
Oh, yeah.
You see, around 20 years ago, my husband and I had gone on holiday to the city they named twice. We'd had a lovely time, but on arriving back at Heathrow, we'd managed to somehow lose each other when visiting the airport toilets. I had ended up at passport control at 3 a.m. without my passport, distraught and in tears, I was worried that I might not be let back into the country. I remember pleading with the staff to go and find my husband so that he could provide my passport. I still vividly remember one of the senior team members saying, "She's definitely British, let her through," and the incredible relief that I felt at that moment. I've always thought this to be a genuine mistake by my husband. I was horrified to find, via your show, that I had apparently gotten on his nerves and had been ditched instead. And he knew exactly what he was doing when he took my passport through to the other side. I was left to the mercy of the airport staff. So just like in Roald Dahl's The Twits, when Mrs. Twit plays nasty tricks on Mr. Twit by feeding him worms hidden inside his spaghetti, I decided I needed retribution. I took even greater pleasure the following evening when my husband reheated the remainder of the pie and put it in the microwave for his supper. So, Father Simon, I seek your forgiveness for what I have done. I think the fact that he really enjoyed eating his beef and ale cat food pie should go at least some way to helping exonerate my sins. Don't worry, our beloved Eugene did not go hungry that night. Despite losing all his beef and jelly sachets, I gave him some tuna instead. Despite how this may seem, I really am a verily happy married woman
to a very lovely man
who I've just given some cat food to. But Father Simon, for this break in my otherwise usually exemplary conduct, I seek your forgiveness. Well, the reason is this is particularly tasteful, not only because the pies were very tasteful, because the original confession was very good, but also the revenge equally administered through this show. And so obviously husband is finding out about it right now to this very moment and choking on his food. I think very good. I'm nodding you through here, Marge. I'll give you in the put you in the fast track lineup, I think. Let's go to Susie first of all. What do you say, Suze?
Yeah, but I kind of want to side with Marge here. That confession was shocking. Like, she could have got deported back to New York, couldn't she? And just because he wanted a little bit of time to himself, and he knew what he was doing. And I think, you know, I'm really struggling to find out what she did wrong, because he enjoyed the pie. He didn't know what was in it. He went back for seconds. You know, he liked it. The cat still got fed. I just feel like maybe he did deserve it, and I'm going to stick with Marge and stick with the wife and forgive her.
It was fairly shocking that he knew absolutely deliberately that he'd taken the passport through to the other side and let her struggle. Yeah. So, Brother Matthew,
As I remember it, because she had been annoying on the plane, which was obviously not a good enough reason for abandoning your wife at passport control. So, I'm going to forgive, because he had it coming, didn't he, with the beef and ale. And the cat food's perfectly fine. Don't they test that on humans?
I think they do.
Probably. The jelly. We all enjoy jelly, and so in a way, and he loved the pie, so it's all revenge best served cold, or indeed in a pie. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Tonight's confession, Ice Sprite, comes from Private Paul. Thank you, Private Paul, who sends in tonight's tale like this. Simon and team, my confession is exactly 40 years old and is upon the event of my army medical. The MOD, the Ministry of Defence, gave me an appointment in Chester, which they seemed to think was a good idea, even though it required me to get an 8 a.m. train to get to an early afternoon appointment. Anyway, I find the medical practice in a large Victorian house with big bay windows looking out on a very grassy park. It was a warm, sunny day and there were plenty of people in the park, mostly well-dressed ladies, for it was a working day during school term. I'm not quite sure how that sentence works.
No, it doesn't, does it? But it doesn't matter.
No, yeah. Anyway. The nurse at reception looked rather worried, checked my paperwork and informed me that the doctor had gone to play golf and that I'd better book another appointment. Nice as Chester was, I didn't fancy another day trip and pointed out that the MOD would certainly be asking questions before issuing me with another rail warrant. Looking rather concerned, she ushered me into a waiting room with a promise to see if she could contact the said doctor. Eventually she returned, looking a little pale, I thought, and told me that the doctor was on his way and to enter a changing room, remove my clothes and put on a dressing gown. In time, I heard what must have been the doctor arriving and he sounded more than a tad annoyed. I was duly called into a large ground floor room where a late middle-aged doctor sat at a large mahogany desk with his back to one of the bay windows looking out over the sunny park with the ladies, a steady stream of whom I noticed were following the path that passed about 6 feet from the window. Some of them even casually glancing through the window as they passed. Over on a darker side of the room was a couch and a screen behind which I expected the medical to take place. "Stand still," the doctor barked as I moved in that direction. Oh, actually, that was to Ray Winston.
It was.
"Stand still, boy, young man." The doctor barked as I moved in that direction. He kept his head down, filling in my forms and asking me the odd question, quite evidently in a king-size grump. I obliged by standing in front of the desk, facing him and looking down over his head out of the window. "Take off your gown," he commanded. Now, my mind suddenly focused on the wisdom of doing as he ordered versus the fact that it seemed entirely inappropriate to be without clothes before the passing ladies of Chester. He must realise I had no clothes on, otherwise I wouldn't be wearing a gown, so there seemed little to be gained in pointing this out. Perhaps the army required him to ascertain if I had any hang-ups about nudity. Anyway, thinking that he would very quickly ask me to replace it or go behind the screen, I dropped the rope and adopted the at-ease position. Best way to describe it. To my complete surprise, he still didn't look up. And he said words that I'll remember forever. He said, "I'm going to give you a hearing test."
"What?" "Oh,
repeat what I say," he said, still with his head down. It goes like this. "Bat," he whispered. "All right, bat," I replied. "Cat," he whispered. "Cat," I replied, trying to keep it from my voice that already two passing ladies had done a double take, and whilst one had hurried by, the other's gaze had definitely lingered. I began to have visions of a crowd assembling or a policeman being called. After I'd correctly repeated another few words, he said, "Good. Surely you must look up now, but no. Turn to your left," he said, before repeating the whispered word test. "Bat. Bat. Cat. Cat." And then he said, "Turn to your right." I lost count of the number of ladies who now had caught an unexpected eyeful and had no idea why I'd been required to take off my robe for a hearing test. When at last the doctor looked up and exploded, "You've got no clothes on, man!" Thinking, and I've adjusted this line a bit, "Well done, Sherlock," I simply replied, I replied, "No, sir, I haven't got any clothes on." "But why haven't you got any clothes on?" he seethed through clenched lips below a puce middle-aged face, making no attempt to move. I reminded him that it was him who suggested I take off my gown in the first place. He all but exploded, called me a socialist and a hippie. because that's how socialists and hippies behave.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Wrapped up the medical rather quickly. I never got as far as the couch or the screen, and he left the building rapidly, presumably back on the golf course for the 19th hole. I can only assume that he was happy to parade me in my underwear in a spiteful attempt to embarrass me, but now the boot was on the other foot. We didn't say back at you in those days, but that is what I was thinking. Ironically, although the doctor passed me fit for military service, the MOD decided the hearing test was invalid because it wasn't conducted in an audio booth. And I had to travel to RAF Abingdon at a later date. Anyway, Father Simon, I don't seek forgiveness from the doctor, nor even the nurse who caught his wrath both on the way in and out. But I do sincerely seek forgiveness from any of the gentle ladies of Chester who may have suffered some embarrassment that peculiar day. Private Paul, at ease with his army medical, Sister Susie in the pub. What do you say?
Oh, well, Private Paul, my tummy's hurting because that made me laugh so much. I do feel like you could have maybe made it a bit more obvious to the doctor rather than just standing in front of the window.
How obvious can it be when he's standing there?
Well, he could have said, you know, excuse me, or can we close the blinds? You know, a bit of modesty.
Okay.
But just for the giggles, I'm going to forgive him, I think.
Brother Matthew.
It was worth it.
I love the fact that the reason why he didn't speak up is that he was thinking that the army might want to know whether he's got any hang-ups about nudity. You know, we're going to send them into the field of battle. Better know what they're like when they've got no strides on. So I am going to forgive because that has given me the biggest laugh in weeks. Outstanding work, Private Paul. Well done.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
It's been quite a racy podcast, I think.
I think so. I think we need to dial it back.
Do you think, is this the way season 7 is going to go?
Yeah. I hope so. That'd be
fun. I hope there's some order restored.
Well, you're the producer, so you've got to sort that out.
Yeah.
You're the one that's going to podcast prison.
Correct.
Mm-hmm, thanks.
Anyway, that's the end of this
That's the end.
If you've been inspired by any of the nonsense, then send in your own confession, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. And now, with a certain sense of trepidation, over to Brother Matthew for this week's secret code phrase.
Yes, the secret code phrase this week is the Pafenic has gewolken. The Pafenic has gewolken secret code phrase this week.
How do you even spell that?
The Pafenic.
I've said it so many times and you still got it wrong.
The Pafenic.
Deb Fenig.
The Fenig.
Ist gefallen.
Ist gefallen.
Right.
Ist gefallen.
So it's the penny has dropped.
The penny has dropped.
Deb Fenig.
You could do it in German or in English. There you go. Either of those will be acceptable.
What happened to the bulk
eraser? Yeah. We're not doing that because
that's filth. Yeah, I thought it was going to be the bulk
eraser. We've already decided we need to dial that back.
What about smoking hot knickers? We have so many options.
Definitely not, because that will have been edited out.
What about the smoking hot knickers in the bulk eraser?
Yeah. That's both.
So there's that. Or let's go with the German
one.
I'm
going to be editing this till
exactly.
Next week.
Yeah.
This is edited?
I don't think.
Anyway, so if the German is der Pfennig, PF at the beginning.
PF, the Pfennig has gesticken. Gefallen.
You still can't get it right. Such a linguist.
You did languages.
I did, but not German. That's true.
Anyway, if you listen this far, you can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads, or you can post it to me on Blue Sky. Remember to share the podcast with a friend in the shower. Leave a glowing review, 5 stars guaranteed. Thank you very much indeed. Back next week with another bunch of nonsense. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Bye-bye.
From the cupboard of tat, Sister Holly says these wise words.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And Brother Matthew.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
It's not known for, like, smoking hot knickers. It's known for, like...
Can I predict this entire thing is getting edited out?
No, because smoking hot knickers would be a great catchphrase.
Knickers would definitely be a great catchphrase, but we're not doing that.
That would definitely be fantastic.
We're definitely not.
Are we not?
So all of this bit is edited out and clap the hands.
I like how you're deciding this. Why are you deciding this? Why are you calling the shot?